Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
SEC Network analyst Paul Feinbaum. He's been critical of Jim Harbaugh before. And I like Paul a lot. He tells it like it is. He tells it like he sees it.
Especially when it comes to Jim Harbaugh.
Yes. And he had a few pointed things to say about Harbaugh. Here's one. I think part of it comes from people in the South not really believing Michigan is worthy of all the conversation that they get. To me, Michigan always seems like that guy at the end of the bar that is just running his mouth. And then he sneaks out because he knows he's about to get clocked. I just don't think there is a high level of respect for Michigan. Here's the other thing he said about Harbaugh in particular. If you're on the street in New York and find someone who cares about college football, the topics are usually Nick Saban. Is there anybody that can beat them? Is it Clemson? Beyond that, Jim Harbaugh comes up probably next, and that's because he's one of the best-known coaches in football, primarily because of what he did with the 49ers. Rob, you have definitely been critical of Jim Harbaugh. What do you think of what Feinbaum said?
I'm lockstep with him. I think he's way overrated. I told you I've called him the McCote, the most overrated coach of all time. That is Jim Harbaugh.
He's the McCote.
The McCote.
McCote.
McCote. M-O-C-O-A-T. And that's because, Chris, he's paid like he's won a he's in the top three of the pay scale. Yet all the other people that you talk about in the top three, they've won multiple championships.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yes.
I think there are coaches
who
that are
in
up
college
there.
Football?
I have to, yeah, because we've talked about this
no,
before.
No, Rob G., go. Can you look
yeah,
up?
Yeah, there are. Clear. There
they've
definitely
all won,
are.
They've won championships. He hasn't won one. He hasn't won one on any level. That's all I'm saying is that's why he's just way overrated. And the whole Michigan thing, even Bo Schembechler. And I know people are, oh, my God, how could you talk about the great Bo Schembechler? He never won. You hear me,
well,
Chris?
But Schembechler was a great coach.
But he never won. He never won a championship.
But he was a great coach. He wasn't a great coach?
No, he never won.
Stop it.
Stop it. It was back then it was the Big Two and the other eight, the little eight in the Big Ten. Everybody knows it. It was Ohio State
and Michigan.
No, Michigan
was a great team. Yeah,
but well, how come he couldn't win a national championship? They didn't win under Bo Schembechler.
Doesn't mean he wasn't a great coach.
I'm telling you.
And I'm with you on that, though, that he didn't win. They won one national title.
And that was
since teams have been playing.
And you know what that was? That was
1997.
And that was a shared title. Was it with Nebraska? Who was that with? Right? With Martin, right? With Nebraska. It was a shared title. They haven't even won an outright national championship. For all the great stuff about Michigan, all the great players who have come through there, for the helmet, I get it, the tradition, the big house, all of that stuff feels good when it comes to college football, okay? I get it, Chris, but they haven't won. And everybody makes a big deal about Michigan. And you got to, at some point, ante up. Last year, they were ready to do it. They went to Ohio State. They were supposed to win that game finally and move on, right? And they got their butts kicked in the big game.
Rob G., give us the salaries, the top five highest paid coaches in college football.
Okay, so they haven't released it for this upcoming season. You release it around October.
Okay.
So disregard Urban Meyer, number two. So it's Nick Saban.
Championship.
Jim Harbaugh.
No championship.
Jimbo Fisher, championship.
Championship.
Not where he's at now, though.
Gus Malzahn, championship.
Right. This was my point.
And Kirby Smart, who has been in the playoffs at least once.
Championship?
No.
But if you
don't sugarcoat it for Rob Parker.
I'm not sugarcoating it, but my point is, all those guys, and you took out Urban Meyer, right? That's another guy who's won championship, multiple. So all I'm saying is, for him to be in that pay scale and be in the top three, Chris, without winning anything, is about his name, what he did in the NFL, and I get it, but he still has never won a big game to me.
Well, obviously he has not delivered in the big games. He's 1-8 against top 10 teams at Michigan. And I'm with you in all that.
That says a lot,
doesn't
it?
Last year was embarrassing against Ohio State.
That was embarrassing. That was
horrible.
It was.
Okay. Now, however, I have defended Harbaugh in that, and Feinbaum said it, he gets praise because of what he did at San Francisco. And what he did at San Francisco with the 49ers was exceptional. He gets praise for that because he did a great job
there.
A team that hadn't been in the playoffs in 8 years, a team that was 6-10 the year before he got there, and he immediately turns them, immediately, and leads them to the conference championship or, game. Three straight times in the conference championship game, one trip to the Super Bowl. Now, you're right, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he did a great job there. And in Michigan, again, you're absolutely right, has not won the big one, but he has returned that team to national relevance. All right, that team, before he got there in the previous 7 years, they were ranked in the top 10 one time. At any point in the season, they were ranked in the top 10 one time. In the 5 years he's been there, they've been ranked in the top 10 four of those years.
But if you go back,
but I'm just saying, in college football, and I'm with you, he has not won the big one. And Michigan is not that upper crust. Alabama, Clemson now, Ohio State, they're not up on that level of program. They're right the notch below. And because, like you said, their greatest coach, Bo Schembechler, never won a title.
Right.
But he celebrated, and I think rightly so, because he was a great coach. And
but
so,
that's the history of Michigan, though, is not winning big, and people like going gaga over people. I get it. You get 106,000. Is that what the attendance is? 101? 110,000 a week, which is a big and a great college. Ann Arbor, Chris, all about Ann Arbor. Your daughter goes there. You should be requesting a refund, paying the money for Jim Harbaugh. You know what I'm saying? You don't want your money back? You're paying all that money for your daughter to go
I'm
there?
I'm not paying for her to go watch football games.
Oh, thank God. Because you know what? You would be getting a refund.
Look, I'm realistic. All right? I understand everybody's not going to win the national championship.
I do too.
I know that's what they want to do at Michigan, but the fact is they've won one national title in their entire football existence.
And that was mythical.
Well, 97.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, you're right. And I think they may have won some in the 40s and some.
Yeah, the only problem with that,
that
was when they used a pig for a football.
Yeah, well,
they didn't even have a real ball back then.
But what I'm saying is, I remember, and you know this too, Rob, growing up in Ohio, Michigan was a national power. Now, they didn't win it ever, but they were always relevant. They were always one of those top teams in the country. And they had fallen away from that. And Harbaugh has returned them to that. Now, you're right. If he can't win the big one, maybe even this year, maybe you have to move on. But there's something to be said for being relevant.
Here's something I'll ask you. If they lose to Ohio State again without Urban Meyer, what would that say? Remember, that game is in the big house this year.
Yeah, I'm going to try to go to that game.
Are you going to go?
Yeah.
When is that?
It's Thanksgiving weekend, so I think we're going to be there.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
I'll be out of the country, but otherwise, I think I would.
Is that when you're going to Antarctica?
Yeah, that's
you celebrating Thanksgiving with the penguins?
Yes.
Really?
I'll be there.
You're going to be in Antarctica on Thanksgiving?
I think I'll be there like either the day before or whatever. Yeah,
Wow.
I know.
What you going to do for Thanksgiving dinner?
Eat a penguin, maybe.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe hey, not. More power to you,
yeah.
Man.
But I would go with you to that game if I was going to be around. But I'll say this. This is a huge game for him. And then even if he wins, Chris, does he get full credit? What is it, Ryan Day, their new coach? Does he get full credit because he's beaten Ohio State but without Urban Meyer? Do you know what I mean? Like, the people say, well, of course you won. Urban Meyer's not coaching. And if you don't win, people come down on you. It's almost a lose-lose.
I wouldn't go that far. I get where you're coming from because obviously Ryan Day is unproven, although I think he's going to do a great job. We saw last year he did well when Meyer was suspended.
Right.
But it would – look, beating Ohio State no matter what, it would be great for Michigan, obviously for Harbaugh.
But if they lose.
If they lose, you know, because here's the thing. We know, look, and Harbaugh's benefited from this and been an example at times of it. We know how important, of all the three major sports, coaching is the most important in football. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, because
the coach makes the most difference.
Because there's
football.
A scheme and there's a whole idea of how you're
recruiting.
Play.
I mean, they recruit in all the sports, but in football, pro and college, the coach has a huge thing to do with how successful his team is. So you're right in that if a rookie coach comes in
and beats him
at home, yeah, that would say a lot.
I think the natives would be rustless. You know what I mean? That they would go, oh, wait a minute, what is this? Okay, so now Urban Meyer leaves and we still can't beat Ohio State. At home, no less. That would be a huge and a lot of people thought that he was ready to move on anyway. I just wonder how long will he stay there if he figures out. Now with Urban Meyer gone, there's a chance he could just stick around, you know what I mean, Chris, and figure.
Well, where would he go? It'd have to be the NFL.
Oh, he could still get back to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, if he wants to do that,
First of all, his brother's still in the NFL, and he had success.
No, I know he could go back there, but I'm just saying, I don't know that he wants to. He's secure at Michigan. Like I said, as long they haven't won a national championship, or other than the one. And so he's got job security there. I think you've been calling for his firing for a couple years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so he's obviously got some security there as long as they're pretty good. But I'm with you. Look, they, you know, it was a big deal made about him when he went there, big deal made about how much he can recruit and all that.
And he's a quarterback whisperer.
At some point, you
got to
get
that
done. They may not beat Alabama or Clemson, but you got to win the Big Ten. You got to win the Big Ten.
And you got to beat Ohio State. You got to beat your rivals.
You know that John Cooper couldn't beat Michigan for the most part.
And what happened? They ran
him
out of Ohio State.
Right. So I get where you're coming from. I just, you know, I look at it a little differently. I don't think just because you don't win a national championship doesn't mean you're a great coach. But look, it's time for Harbaugh to put up or shut up. There's no doubt about that. So
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
College football starting tonight, and I'm upset because I wanted to watch Clemson. Clemson is the overwhelming pick at number one right now in the preseason. And they play tonight, Georgia Tech, I believe. ACC game, and it's not on national television, which just blows my mind. Don't understand it. But anyway, Clemson and Alabama, 1-2 in the polls. And Rob, the last 4 years, Clemson or Alabama has won the national championship. The last 4 years. And in three of those 4 years, they've been 1-2. Do you think it's a good thing for college football that these two teams are so dominant? I don't think we've ever seen an era where two teams dominated college football so much more than the other teams. And let me throw this final point in before you answer. Pundits have these teams, not only do they rank them 1-2, but they believe they are 7 points better. At least, this is the odds makers. The odds makers believe Clemson and Alabama are each at least a touchdown better than any other team in the country. A touchdown at least better than Ohio State. A touchdown at least better than Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Notre Dame, the other powerhouses out there, if I can call them that. because they get taken to the woodshed when they play Clemson and Alabama. Is this a good thing for college football?
I don't think so. And I'm all about a dynasty. And when you have a great team put together, they win three in a row or three out of four or whatever. I get the dynasty thing. But when the same two teams are at it over and over and nobody else, you know, is really in that mix, I think it starts to wear on people. And people, they still love college football games, right? But it's like, I've seen this movie, Chris. I've seen how this thing goes. And last year, right, in the championship game, right, which was a blowout, right?
Clemson blew out Alabama, yeah.
Right, blowout. Poor TV ratings, right? It wasn't like, let's watch this because we're watching history, we're watching this great team, and we all want to, you know, at Clemson and how good they are. People just turned it off. They didn't care. It was like the lowest rated title game in the 5-year postseason system.
BCS,
Chris. Yeah, it was. And that's what I'm telling you is that's people saying this ain't nothing special. People stick around for something that's special. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I'm with you on I'm not against dynasties. I think dynasties end up being good for sports. But there's a difference between a pro dynasty and a college dynasty. And the difference is that in the pros, it's generally the same players, right? It's Tom Brady in New England. It was LeBron James. He didn't really have a dynasty, but LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. They're similar teams, similar players, or the same players. In college, the players change. And when two teams still dominate, but the players are changing, I think that just makes it worse. That kind of takes away from the romance of a dynasty. So I would like to see someone else get in there this year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We started off the show, Rob, talking about some advice that LaDainian Tomlinson gave, the great running back himself, Hall of Famer.
LT2 square.
Yes, that he gave to Saquon Barkley. And he said he should think like a basketball player. He said, there's no loyalty. I'm paraphrasing. But there's no loyalty in this game. Get your money. And if it means leaving a team that you're on, then do that. It's a short window for you to make all this money. And you should think like LeBron James and these other players in the NBA who go where the money is. What are your thoughts on that? I think it's interesting he said that in this time because Ezekiel Elliott, with 2 years left on his deal, is sitting out for more money. Le'Veon Bell sat out an entire season last year for more money. Didn't get it. Ended up signing for less than he had been offered before, but he still got some guaranteed money. And obviously Melvin Gordon for Los Angeles Chargers sitting out as well. What'd you think about what LT told to Saquon Barkley?
Well, I'm never for giving a discount to billionaires and all that other stuff. You should just get what the market bears. If you're a great player and guys who aren't as good as you are making more money than you, there's something wrong. I just think that you should go for all you can make at every situation, or at least if you want to stay somewhere, have them pay you your value, your worth. And I think that's what's important. And I like LT's message. And I love what the running backs are doing. I love the whole notion of the CBA doesn't work for us and we should hold out and try to get paid because they use us up and then normally don't want to pay us. And I think that running backs are getting smarter. And that's why Ezekiel Elliott, he could have just it said, hey, yeah, I got 2 years left. I just have to, hey, we got a chance to win a Super Bowl or contend for a Super Bowl. So I'm not going to upset the apple cart. I'll just play at this low salary, even though I've led the league in rushing two of the last 3 years. And the record is overwhelmingly better when I play. And the whole setup about the Cowboys offense is based around me. He could have looked the other way on all that stuff and just shown up for camp and said, "All right, I'm just going to be a good soldier and be a good soldier and go back and just wait for my turn." And he decided that he's not going to do that because that's not going to work for him.
Yeah, and look, I wouldn't have been mad at him. He wouldn't have been wrong for just going in, playing out your contract. I mean, you know, we have contracts and people do that. I'm not mad at him for trying to get his money because I think they're under a bad collective bargaining agreement. But I wouldn't, you know, say he's wrong if he had just been, as you said, that good soldier and gone in there and played. And I agree with LT because clearly the teams aren't loyal. You get hurt. And you're not the same player anymore, or your game falls off. The Cowboys are a prime example. DeMarco Murray, a few years ago, led the league in rushing. I think it was around 1,800 yards. And they let him go as a free agent. And Zeke comes in and you know, a couple years later and is just as good. So they showed you that we're going to use you up. And when it's time, when you're not the same player, we will go ahead and get somebody else. So I'm with LT. And I'm with you in that taking market value is important. You got to get your market value. Teams shouldn't insult you with these lowball offers and just try to rip you off. But I'm not necessarily.
But Chris, let me say this one part on what you just said about that. The other part is you owe it to the other people in the league. When you lowball, you don't even hurt yourself, only hurt yourself. You hurt other people when they set the market. And then they could use you as an example and say, well, this guy didn't take, he only took this, and so you shouldn't take that. And that's the other part. There's a responsibility that comes with it. That's why Dak Prescott is not going to take less than Russell Wilson. That market has been set, and every quarterback, since they started paying these quarterbacks, the price goes up with every guy.
No, so it doesn't. It doesn't.
And normally
I mean,
does.
I get the what you're saying, but you don't Tom want to Brady, take, who's the best quarterback,
Tom Brady's 42 years old.
I'm just saying.
Tom Brady's 42
years old. Didn't Tom Brady just win the last Super Bowl?
He's 42 years old.
He's still in every top five quarterback.
You go look at all
in the league.
Go look at Russell Wilson in the last. Aaron Rodgers and all those other guys.
You can't say, look, if I'm a player, I get what you're saying, and there is truth to it. But I'm not. I'm thinking about myself. For trying to
that's
set
why
the
that's
market,
why the NBA
or
that's,
for trying to get you know if I'm happy and content and I'm willing to take a couple million less because I want to stay where I'm at, I'm not going to let the fact that other players, you know, how they think about it affect me.
That's why the NFL is Players Association is where they are.
No,
for exactly
that's
that
got
reason.
Nothing to do with
yes, it,
it
does.
No, it doesn't.
They're
Let
not,
me make my point.
They
got
to be.
Saying,
they have to be.
I'm
have some solidarity.
No. I didn't mention solidarity because other players think this way too in other leagues. I'm saying if I'm happy, if I'm Dak Prescott and I really want to be in Dallas. And I'm happy there. My market value is between 30 and 35 million. And Dallas offers me 32. I'm happy here. I think we can win. I've got chemistry with Amari Cooper. I'm staying there for 32 rather than going to somewhere I don't really want to be, a team that might not be any good, for 34 million. And if that bothers other players, so be it.
But you're making it like minuscule. What if it's a bigger difference and they want you to take $8 million less because they like you like it here. They know you like it here. You don't want to go anywhere. And they're going to offer you way under your value.
That's a different scenario. And I agree. I'm not saying let somebody use you and push you around. I agree with you. You have to pay me my market value. That's I totally on board with you.
Okay.
But I'm just saying I don't have to have every last dime. I'd love to get it, but what would be most important to me is being happy and comfortable in the environment I'm in and getting my market value. It doesn't have to be the ultimate, but getting my market value. Speaking of
when we
money,
go when we go for our negotiations, any chance that I could get a little extra money since you're good?
No.
Why?
My market value is, you know. He's up there.
Rob G.
Ridiculous.
Shouldn't Chris, like, offer?
He's going to try to use these
Rob
words
G.
against
me. I'm a single guy. I'm traveling
right.
the world.
I got kids.
I'm traveling the
college.
World.
I got real kids I'm putting through college.
Hey,
no,
Rob G., you know how many women I'm putting through
blood.
College? I'm putting women all over the country through college.
I got flesh and blood I'm putting through college, all right? Yeah. I'm not buying Gucci sneakers and Jordans every
What are you
other
talking
week.
About?
Speaking of Jordans, all right? Did you see this story, Rob, that Michael Jordan, this according to Forbes, he made $130 million last year.
Which is incredible.
Off of the Air Jordan sneakers. Now, when's the last time he played? 2003?
It's been 15
One?
Years,
no, not
too, right?
Yeah, well, it's been about 15 years,
I'd say.
And LeBron James was second at $32 million. Kevin Durant, I'm surprised he's this close to LeBron. He was third at $26 million. But Jordan, can you believe that? $130 million. Why do you think the Jordans are so far ahead of the LeBrons, the KDs, the Kyries, all the sneakers that are out there, the fly sneakers that are out there today? I mean, these kids didn't even see Michael Jordan play, and they're the first in line to get his new sneakers.
You know what?
Really old ones.
It's right, all the retros.
The retros
that they're selling. You know, that's a great question, because normally people want the newest stuff. They want something, you know what I mean? Not whatever the latest is. You know how millennials, whatever happened yesterday is better than what happened in the past. So it is weird, because that bucks that saying and what normally goes down. But it's something about those sneakers and especially the retros that are just I'm hooked. I am absolutely.
I know.
I'm hooked.
When's the last time you bought a pair? Like 3 days ago?
Yeah, I just got the cement
the
ones. Yeah, but the white ones. I just got those, and all summer I kept saying I'm done. I'm not going to buy anymore. Whatever. And I can't help it. Every chance I get, and I see them, and I still want to buy them. So it's something about those sneakers that are iconic. That buck the odds, that has Michael still primed. What is it about the Jordans? Chris, you have them. What moves you about them? I don't know what it is.
Well, they're classic. They're classic. Let me read. This is the list. Michael Jordan, $130 million. LeBron James, $32 million. Kevin Durant, $26 million. Giannis Antetokounmpo, $10 million. Klay Thompson, 9. Dwayne Wade, 12. This is according to Forbes. That's their sneaker incomes. I wonder where, like, Kyrie, Steph Curry, and those guys are. But, yeah, the Jordans are just classic, you know. And my favorite pair, I believe, are the 3s. It's close. I got 3 that are head and shoulders above the rest. In my opinion, because I'm going to keep it real with you. I think most, not all, but most, it might be 55% of them, the Jordans were ugly.
Yes, I agree with that.
You're right?
No, I agree.
A lot of them, especially the later models, right?
All the later models do nothing for me. And I never liked the Jordan 1s. I thought they were too flimsy. And
well, at that time, that's how, you know, that's how the sneakers were made.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I bought a pair. I didn't like those. And as they got to the 5s and the 11s, I'm all about those. I could get.
So what's your favorite pair? The 5s?
No, the 11s.
11s.
And what are they called?
That's with the patent leather, the
right,
Concords.
The cap and gown ones, the black on black? Is that
well,
the one?
Well, you got the black on black.
Is that what it's
you
called?
White with the black patent leather.
Martin, can you help me? What are you just sitting there? Look it up.
Rob
G, is it the patent ones?
Well, they're the Concord. Aren't they called Concords?
Yeah, but I think the name of them is cap and gown, I think.
My 3 favorites are the 3s, which the first one's with the cement.
Okay.
And then the 11s, as you said, with the patent leather.
Right.
And then the 4s. Like, those are the 3 favorites for me. I do like the 2s. When I first saw the 2s with the iguana skin, I thought they were the ugliest sneakers I'd ever seen.
Right.
But then they grew on me, and now I really like
now
them.
Now you
I
like
have a
them,
couple
right.
pair, yeah. And the ones, I like the ones. The ones weren't all that unique, really, because remember at that time, people, they had what they called Nike Dunks, too. And every team, Georgetown had them in their colors, and UNLV had them in their colors. And so they were very similar to the Jordans at that time. But we've never seen anything like it. And here's the thing, Rob. You can't say Jordan's popularity is just because – this is maybe a part of it. But some people would say, well, when he came along, he was like the first one with a completely signature shoe. Right. You know, Dr. J, we used to call those Docs, you know, the ones Dr. J wore. But a lot of players wore those, you know, and – so Magic had his purple and gold Converse, and Bird had his black ones. But Jordan came along and was really the first. But I don't think it's just because he was the first. I think it's because of the way he played. His game, in addition to being so effective, he was arguably the most graceful player we've ever seen. His game just looked good. You know, it's like you might be able to do some of Michael Jackson's dance moves, Rob, but they're not going to look as good as Michael Jackson doing them.
No,
you know what I mean?
I know what you mean, right?
Right. And Jordan, you might be able to, Kobe or LeBron might be able to mimic a Jordan dunk, but it's not going to look as good as when Michael Jordan did it.